Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast, crew talking wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football for the next hour. So from Ruston to Monroe, Farmerville to Jonesboro, sit back, relax, because we're about to do 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, BS and Beer style. After a week of consternation and hand-wringing, the Saints go into Seattle and pull off the improbable. In a rainstorm, one of the most inhospitable environments. The Saints pull off a 33-27 victory. With me, Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio,
uneducated,
Wesley Coleman. I'm Dave Romero.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know big words.
I'm trying to go to this.
I don't know big words.
The only thing more impressive than that win was that vocabulary thrown out
now,
there.
Now that we got the Seattle consternation. newspaper picking up my tweets.
Yeah,
I'm thinking I'm going somewhere now. Yeah. Big things. I got to start picking up
so
my game.
So you want the Harvard vocabulary book?
Then I went, learn what is it? Word of the day.
Word of the day.
You're on that dictionary.com word of the day email, aren't
there
you?
That's right. Hey, you like it. I got me some smarts real good So anyway, who expected it all week? Everyone. Listen, right now, the thing that I have been most focused on is all this is biding time until Drew Brees comes back.
Yep.
And every win puts us in a position right now, if I'm not mistaken, the rest of the NFC West, 1-2, the Saints, 2-1. If my math is correct, that means that we have a two-game lead in the division, or at least till we're tied. So that means, not that I expect the Saints to lose, because obviously after a big win like that, things look like they're heading in the right direction. But that gives us two games that we can lose and until Drew Brees comes back. So, Drew Brees supposed to be out 6 to 8 more weeks. Can we continue this, Heath? Can we get ourselves in a position where we can win 3 out of the next 4?
I'm going to have to say yeah. Especially if the rest of the team contributes like they did this weekend. You know, that was a big part of it. Special teams picking it up. Defense picked it up, and they got the call right this time. Defense actually picked it up before.
Right.
But this time, so maybe I should say the referees picked it up.
Right.
This week. And so
the other part of the game that we've been needing, special teams, defense, offense, referees.
Yeah. The four phases of the game that we got to go against, And so Teddy did his job well enough,
I mean, Tomas, that was going into the game. If we're going to win – everyone has to contribute. We have to have people step up. Last week we had drop balls. We had defensive breakdowns. We just weren't playing that well. Penalties. Not that we didn't have penalties this week,
still
but other facets of the team picked up their game.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that certainly we saw what Deontay Harris can do, and I expect him. My bold prediction is that I believe, and I thought about this earlier, and now I saw somewhere on Twitter that somebody said that the coach said the same thing, and that is to get Harris more involved. Look for him to be on offense. I'm looking for him to be involved offensively, in those long balls that maybe can be thrown by Teddy. Yeah. We'll see. But
jet sweep. He seems like a good guy for a jet sweep.
Yeah, right. Well, all those things that Cook used to do.
Or try to do anyway. Not very successful.
And that Teddy, would be the next guy up to do it. I think this fellow, he just has a natural ability to find the crease and go.
Yep.
And so I think that they'll make use of it. I would also like to say something against what my friend, the commentator here with the large vocabulary said. Huh. And that is, perhaps we made these changes. There are a lot of changes that have been made. If Teddy plays better next week and the week after perhaps we don't have to wait for Breeze to come back. Perhaps we can just let the ball keep rolling until something changes. I'm just saying, it's a possibility. It's
something to think about.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
This just in, no penalty for 12 men on the field. I want to make sure that there was no confusion.
I don't know when that penalty went away.
No, a timeout was called.
Oh, timeout was called.
Before.
Breaking news. Therefore.
Breaking news.
Yeah, therefore.
Wesley, we're in a position now. We're controlling our division. Division seems a little soft.
Cam Newton's feet.
Like Cam Newton's feet, like his okay,
like his fashion style.
Yes.
Holy moly!
What does it look like for this season? Breeze comes back, or the team seems to be able to be playing well enough. I mean, the Saints can make the playoffs, could win the NFC South without Breeze.
Well, I don't know if I would go that far. I would say this game worked out better than I think we would have expected. I going into it, for us to beat Seattle, I would have said, we're going to need the defense and special teams to play well, and we're going to have to not make mistakes. Well, we fumbled on special teams, got a big turnover, and we had a lot of penalties to start the game, 11 penalties in the whole game, but I think 6 or 7 were in the first quarter.
Yeah.
We did not play mistake-free football and still came out with a win. We could have definitely played a much better game. So this could have been a – and the score, I think, is a lot closer than how the game actually was. I mean, I know we all got nervous at the end because we've been Saints fans for a while. But the game was not a six-point game. I mean, we were quite a bit ahead. I mean, them scoring 20 points in the fourth quarter made the game seem a lot closer. I think that Teddy and the offense can play a much better game. And I mean, in our defense and special teams, they graded out the best game that they've had this season so far. And I think that maybe Breeze coming out could – inspire our defense to play up to their full potential. I think we've got, on paper, really good people on defense. With Rankins returning and our defense kind of getting fired up, putting pressure on themselves, if they can keep that kind of focus and pressure on themselves to play great and then hold it when Breeze comes back, this is a scary team. I mean, with definitely a top five offense and a top five defense, if this is the way it can play, Seattle's a dang good team, and we were in Seattle.
And we had a lot of consternation, too, going into that game. Just to make your point, Wesley, end of the third quarter, 27-7 was the score. People may look at this and like, oh, we barely have – at the end of the day, the Saints were just basically trying to run out the clock, allowing everything. Anytime you have that kind of lead and you allow that many points scored in the fourth quarter, it's uncomfortable. You don't want to see it happen. We've seen it over and over again. It's not just a coincidence. Like the slow starts to the season, poor play in preseason, us playing defense in 2-minute defense, we're just not really good at it. And we allowed them to score quite a bit. But going into the fourth quarter, 27-7, that game was really not that close as the final score indicated. I'm sorry, Tomas, were going to point out something?
Yeah, I was going to point out something that, yes, we have a very good defense, and I think it's going to get better. If only we had a cornerback that could cover. Do you know who's the number one cornerback giving up yards in the NFL right now?
Lattimore.
That doesn't speak well for the number one draft choice that we've invested in.
No.
Does it?
No.
You know, that's not a good thing to have.
Well, hold on a minute. I mean, Lattimore's faced the three, like, top-flight passing offenses with the Texans, the Rams, and the Seahawks. I mean, Russell Wilson throws one of the best long balls in the game. Lockett and Metcalf are physical receivers to go up and get the ball. I mean, we know what the Rams do. And the Texans, he was on DeAndre Hopkins, who, in my opinion, is the best receiver in football. I mean, these are three passing offenses, and Lattimore's following around some of the best receivers in the game.
Yeah, well... I mean, that's true. I'm not as impressed by Seattle's receivers as, you know. But it's not at the level, certainly not at the level that he played in his rookie year.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. When we come back, let's address this, talk a little bit about it, because we are obviously having some issues. But what is it? The teams we face, we've had a tough schedule so far. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer podcast crew. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting this boat rolling.
I'll never be your Phineas Ferb.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew talking wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football. When we went to break, we were talking about Lattimore. It's interesting. I see two sides of the story. You're talking about a guy who was a rookie of the year. The arguments were made that, was he really as good as rookie year? He admitted a drop-off in his second year. He's obviously, Heath, our best cornerback.
Yeah, he's our best cornerback still. But he's not at the level he was his rookie year. And you remember the offseason between the rookie year and last year, he talked about working on technique.
Yeah.
They did a lot of technique work and stuff, and so wasn't just relying on his athleticism and all that. Then he came out and didn't have the year he had his rookie year. And like you said, yes, he's facing good receivers, but if he's supposed to be that good of a corner, then he should still be able to match up better than what it appears to be anyway so far this year.
Well, I'll make the point that you just said if he's supposed to be. Well, I mean, Tomas, what if he's simply not? What if he's really good, but he's not Darrell Revis?
Well, but that's okay. As long as Dennis Allen can design a defense that you have two good corners, everybody's good. We have some excellent pass rush like we've been doing.
Right.
You can design a defense.
Yeah.
That can be a top 10 defense.
I think the question right now is, does he qualify as really good?
Well,
does he have a really? Or is he just good? Or is he?
Wesley, your thoughts?
I mean, I think there's some more plays to watch and see, like what we're blaming on Lattimore. I mean, if we're talking about passes under 10 yards this past week, I mean, he had 9 targets. They completed 7 of them for only 44 yards. So on 10 passes attempted, 44 yards, 4.4 yards. That's, they caught 7 of 10, but 4.4 yards is nothing. That's a high grade. Now, what he's getting really docked for and looked bad on is that he gave up 3 long pass plays.
Yeah.
Now, I don't remember all of them. I can tell you the Metcalf play, Marcus Williams was on his side, which typically Marcus Williams is on Lattimore's side. That is a ball that your safety is supposed to be helping you with once it gets that deep and comes to the hash marks. That is not 100% on the cornerback. So now there may be some different deep balls that he's not getting help on. Now, I agree, on his rookie year, he was all over those, but none of these balls is this person like wide open running downfield with Marshawn Lattimore's not even in the camera picture, but the safety that's supposed to be helping him deep definitely isn't, to Heath's point, for his hopes for Marcus Williams this year. He's not even in the picture on these deep
balls. I was about to say, if it's Marcus Williams over there, there's a lot he's not getting help on, I can promise you.
Maybe Lattimore needs to go ahead and give up on that deep safety help.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the good, bad, and the ugly.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
What'd you do to your screen?
Good and the bad and the ugly.
All right. So, the good. Lots of things to talk about. I don't know if we're going to be able to get to all of it. But you know what's interesting? There's a lot of bad to talk about, too.
Yeah.
Heath, you want to start out? Give me one of your goods.
One of my goods, I'm going to go with a great.
Okay.
Thomas Morstead, right? How many times can you bring this guy up? Did you see the tweet? He got drug tested, apparently.
Yes. Random drug test, air quotes, drug tested.
I could see a performance-enhancing drug that could help a guy average 60 yards plus per punt.
Yeah.
I don't know of any performance-enhancing drugs that makes a guy so good at dropping the ball inside the 5-yard line and spin sideways out of bounds or whatever. But so I could really do this every week, but this week in particular, his punts were huge at pinning Seattle deep at specific parts in the game. And so that's my good.
All right, Wesley, give me one of your goods.
I'm going to take the other low-hanging fruit and pick Alvin Kamara.
Oh.
There may be games where he's had more touchdowns and more yards. To me, this is the best game he has had as a New Orleans Saint. what he did taking over the game, this guy breaking 11 tackles or 12, depending on what stats you look at, is amazing. And he did this against a tough defense. He dragged Jadeveon Clowney for 5 yards. Some of the plays he made are just unreal. There's little plays where in the past where I've been like, oh, that's the only person I've seen do that is Barry Sanders. He did multiple plays in this game where I haven't seen somebody have a game like that since Barry Sanders. With the power and the elusiveness.
I was defied physics so many times that Heath and I looked at each other and was just like, couldn't believe what happened. One time we were backed up into our own end zone. He actually had a really nice run that got called back for Josh Hill holding. And then they ran this little screen pass, and it's so ironic that it's one of those little screen passes that every once in a while there's just a defender standing right next to you, like, why do you run that play? Why do you? He just does a little thing, goes out there, turns around, catches the ball, breaks two tackles, then kind of gets behind the offensive lineman, and you thought he was being tackled, and then all of a sudden he pops out from behind the pile and picks up another 2 or 3, more like 5 or 7 yards for a first down. Yeah.
I love the tweet that somebody put out. It's like, for all of you making fun of Alvin Kamara balancing on a ball and doing exercises in the offseason, y'all feel stupid now, don't you? Or something like that.
That's why, yeah.
All right, Tomas, give me one of your goods.
I guess I'm going for low-hanging fruit again.
Yeah, there's a lot of it.
I'm going to go with Deonte Harris.
Okay.
I think that we've seen glimpses of what's the possibility, and like I said before, he has something that can't be taught. First of all, he has confidence that he can catch the ball no matter what, which is a big thing if you're going to be back there and you're going to get hit as soon as you get the ball. Secondly, he also thinks that every time he gets the ball, he can break it away. When your fellow teammates know that you're back there and they all get up to look and watch what the play is going to happen because, hey, you know, he might break it.
Yeah.
That tells you something right there. Now, the young man miscalculated on one, right? But I will tell you what happened. Because I've heard some other people say it, I noticed it myself. And the first couple of punts, they were beautiful spiral punts. And the one that he blotched, it was an end over ender. So he just has to get used to the different ways in which the ball comes off the foot of the punter. I mean, if he's working with Morstead, he surely would have gotten those lessons by this point, you know? Or he will in the future. But I think Deonte Harris, I expect him to break more in the rest of the season. And I also, as I said to you, I expect him to be more involved in the offense. So that's why
I'd be willing to bet. I don't have this statistic, but I'd be willing to bet that with the really good punt returners throughout the history of the NFL, that the occasional I tried to run before I actually had the ball is a necessary evil.
Oh, yeah.
Because in order to, you have to keep your eyes downfield more than you're looking at that ball coming in. And every once in a while, they're going to get ahead of themselves.
Sure. And Muff won. I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying?
One of the things I want to point out, too, is not just the touchdown. He had a couple of other returns that he's aggressive. And now I never expected, because I remember preseason watching him, and the thing that maybe it's relative to what the garbage we've had in the past is how effortlessly he caught the ball. Because in the past we'd see these guys and they kind of catching the ball and they leaning back and it almost hit their shoulder pad. And he just effortlessly caught it. What I was worried about is because he's small in stature, is that one of these days he's going to be running aggressively and turn the wrong way and end up getting drilled and fumbling that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I'm seeing is a guy has great vision, a guy that he's making plays, he's giving us better field position. You know, believe it or not, man, that hidden yardage, that 12-yard return as opposed to, you know, the 2-yard return or the no yard.
Averaging 12 yards will lead the league in punt return.
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
We're getting under Tommy Lee Lewis that year, last year, full year he was doing it. He averaged a little less than 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd just
like to remind Dave that somebody picked him as being one of those UDFAs who was going to make the team. And somebody told me that I was out of my mind. I'm just saying.
You got that on tape?
Yeah.
I mean, we record.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's on the show.
Look, now, don't
it's
get me wrong.
It's on the show, brother.
Don't get me wrong. It sounds like something I might say to you.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
well, especially considering we signed a guy who over the last several years was a leading punt returner in the NFL, in Sherrill's.
Yes, yeah.
And so at the time, you're thinking, okay, the kid is good, but he's probably practiced
fine. I understand that.
Sherrill's has got this gig, right? He's got guaranteed money to hold 9 yards. Well, Sherrill's couldn't stay on the field in training camp.
That's correct.
All right. So my guy.
Yeah, what's your good?
I'm gonna go with Marcus Davenport. Now the reason I know there's a lot of different guys we can pick, and the reason I picked him is because he's been he's getting picked on a lot. And I was starting to see that stereotypical thing where the fan base finds a guy, especially because of what we invested, the expectations are too high. And then it gradually turns into something that it's not. Now, so for the last 2 weeks, I played very close attention to him. Matter of fact, if you want to go to my Twitter, it's SaintsBS. I did a breakdown of every single play that he was involved in, and I was upwards to 18. I was actually, I don't know what you call it. I guess you say trolling Tomas. I was just kind of giddy when the game was going on. So I was just sending him texts, and I would say, you know, his close friend and buddy, P.J. Williams, everything P.J. do, the right before half was it that the ball was way overthrown. I'm like, look at that great coverage by P.J. And just kind of get on Tomas's nerves. But I said something jokingly about Davenport, and I said, oh, 17 disruptive plays. Well, I don't know if you would consider them all disruptive, but I counted 18 plays where he was involved in either tackling a running play, pressuring the quarterback, one play where he chased down a running back. Just the guy is every bit what we gave up for him. Now, is he the instant product right now on the field? No, he still has some development, and the irony in it is maybe the weakest part of his game at this point is his lack of diversified pass rush moves. He's a power rusher with speed, and he has some bend, but he doesn't have the counter moves yet. He doesn't have the spin moves. He doesn't have – but when I look at him, I don't know if I don't see the same type. I'm not saying they play the same way or look the same, but the same type of player that Cam Jordan is, a power-first player, but much more athletic.
Yeah, no, I agree. I see a lot of the same in him. And, you know, this guy, again, he played at Texas San Antonio.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so he played against, you know, subpar
smaller
competition
schools.
As far. Yeah
smaller
schools. He was raw. It has said a lot of the same things about him that they said about Cam Jordan. He's got one move. He's a power rush. That's all he's got, blah, blah, blah. And when Cam first came in, that was true. He didn't have a lot of sacks early on in his career. It took him a few years before he blossomed. Davenport is spending all the time with Cam Jordan, and I guarantee you, before long, he's going to have the same kind of development.
He'll have that spin move. He'll have the swing move.
He'll develop more, and he'll you know.
And now, Wesley, there was a lot of consternation about Davenport.
You like that word.
Hey, man, that's my word of the day.
Consternation.
Yeah. Consternation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people worried about him. Now I think the fears have gone. Let's talk a little bit about Davenport.
Yeah, I think Davenport, like you said, he's paying off to be exactly what we paid for him. He's showing maybe some of the stat numbers aren't coming in there yet. If we just look at the final box score and you're not watching the game, but the disruptiveness of what he's doing in the game is definitely showing. He's very athletic. We're moving him around. You can tell what he's fitting in our scheme in a few different positions. He's been rushing from the middle, standing up, dropping into coverage. He's a real tall guy there in the middle when the linebackers move around. I think he's doing exactly what we want him to do. And just a shout out, Dave, when we talk about the numbers not show up, Cam Jordan only showed up with two tackles this past week. He had 11 quarterback hurries.
Broke a record.
It's been over three seasons since any NFL player has had 11 quarterback hurries in a game. That's a disruptive game. And that guy was getting, once again, held. I think they only called two. Man, he was
we were talking about that.
Tackled.
They obviously got together and said this. When the guy, this putting the arm around the upper chest and all of in the neck area of these defensive ends.
Oh, especially the neck, yeah.
Because obviously we watch it closely on the Saints with Cam Jordan and all. But I'm sure it's happening to other edge rushers. They have to have gotten together and said, look, we would literally have a penalty on every play. We cannot call that every single time. Because the offensive linemen the tackles would just not be able to keep up with some of these guys.
What it looks like they're doing, on at least Cam Jordan, is they're only calling the holding if he touches the quarterback while being held. He does this multiple times a game where he touches the quarterback and gets tackled and they call the holding. But on the other plays where he doesn't get within an arm's length, they just –
yeah,
okay,
the tackle's got to get fully behind him and essentially be being dragged by him before they actually call it holding.
Yep.
All right, well, and so I want to talk, and I mentioned a lot about Davenport, but I think one of the reasons we're starting to see Davenport playing like a middle linebacker type role, he's actually covering running backs and he did a lot of spying. But that says a lot about, you know, Hendrickson. has developed. I said in off season, this is two preseasons
guy you didn't
in a row.
Like. Uh-huh.
Not that I didn't like him, Tomas. I just wanted to see him do it in a game because that was two preseasons in a row that he's all running around making plays. And it's like, look, I want to see on the field. Well, I've seen on the field now. I think one of the reasons why they're having Davenport play different positions because of the development of Hendrickson,
yep.
who they want to get on the field. And they're like, hey, Davenport has the athleticism to do all kinds of things, be disruptive from the middle of the field, and he is playing like a blitzing linebacker on half of his pass rushes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it. You know, that NASCAR package they're running now with Hendrickson on the outside, they're able to move Davenport inside.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's and they can do all kind of, like you said, they can do all kind of stuff from that, man. They got Davenport dropping back where he's lined up, looks like the middle linebacker. When
Absolutely.
They bring, you know, when Hendrickson comes in and is playing on the edge, and so they can get creative with him, and he's got the athleticism for that.
Yeah, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We come back. We're going to do some ugly for you, let you know some of the bad things that we didn't really care for a whole bunch. Don't go anywhere.
This segment brought to you by BS and Beer Podcast. Twice the entertainment, half the calories. Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Wesley Coleman, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. I'm Dave Romero. I'm your host. We're talking wall-to-wall Saints football. We did the good. Now it's time for the bad ugly. And the irony in this whole game that we went up and, what is it, constipation?
Consternation. There you go.
All right.
Like stir, so, you know?
Yeah, stir it.
There you go.
Is that the Saints went up there, and it was, if everything goes our way, we have to have help from everybody. Quite frankly, well, you know, it's hard to argue that we didn't, but we didn't play the cleanest game.
No, we didn't. There was somebody who didn't. I have them for my back.
You got,
oh, yeah.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you got a couple?
Yeah,
all right. Yeah. Well, we're going to come to you in a second. See if we can get somebody else to pick your guy.
Yeah, I know. It's going to happen. It always happens. Wes will pick my guy. I know it.
All right, Heath, give us a bad, ugly.
Oh, God.
And don't talk about Dave's mom.
Easy over there. All right, Wesley, give me your bad.
I hate to say this because I was so excited about this signing in the offseason, and I have not given up on his season because something's got to change.
Called it.
But my bad, ugly is tight end Jared Cook.
There you go. I knew he was going to do it. I knew it.
I have no idea how many times somebody can get hit in the hands. And this is a guy that doesn't drop the ball. And he runs a great route. Teddy Bridgewater makes one of his best throws of the game, and Jared Cook just doesn't whip his head around fast enough, which is a common thing you learn your first year in the league. And just gets hit in the hands, and it falls right down. This is a guy that's led to interceptions last week. He possibly is responsible for Drew Brees' injury. I'm not sure. But I mean, he's got to
that
start
bad,
catching
huh?
the ball,
is it like it, could he have botched the operation as well? Matter of fact, I ordered a hot dog. I swear, I said cheese. Cook brought it to me with no cheese on it. I mean, it's all his fault. Tomas, you obviously want to jump on that bandwagon.
No, I'll pick a different bad.
Oh, okay,
that
okay.
was my bad.
Well, then let me say a couple of things.
All right, go ahead.
I know this might be the homer in me. I expect him to pick it up.
Yes,
I,
of course you do.
Everybody's calling him, what's the kid's name?
Bust.
No. Yeah, that too.
Fleener.
Yeah, the Fleener. He's got the Fleener.
I already said that.
He's got the Fleeners.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I expect that look, the guy's been in the league way too long. He's going to get better. Whatever's going on.
Better than what?
He's a
good. A hot dog without cheese?
Now, he better fix that immediately. But he's a good player.
Look, if he brings him with ketchup, then you can really get rid of him.
Fleener, when he came in, he was a backup guy. He did some things. He wasn't really – this guy's – Jared Cook has been in the league for a long time and have played really well. I don't think he just all of a sudden forgot how to play. He's just had a bad start. I expect him to pick his game up.
All right, if you think so.
Done. He's over. Tomas
look,
is
I'm not saying
unwielding.
That.
No forgiveness.
Okay, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. During the preseason, he was injured. You know, he sat out for a long time because he was injured. We played a number of the tight ends that we eventually said bye-bye. So, okay, maybe he's going to come around mid-season. All right, we could use him at mid-season for it. That's fine. But I'm going to go like Dave says. You got to show me on the field. And so
Fair
far,
enough.
You ain't showing me jack on the field.
Fair enough. Okay. It's hard to argue.
So, but now you want to hear my bad?
Yeah, let's hear
it. I have another bad. Now, this past weekend, there was a running back that put his team on his back, and even though they didn't win, he went out there and he scored, I think it's 3 touchdowns and a bunch of yards.
This is starting to sound like a fantasy tirade.
No, I know. No, right. I'm just saying. Now, his agent stupidly didn't negotiate properly with the Saints, and so he is no longer a Saint. So the Saints said, well, we'll go out and get somebody else. So they bring in this guy from Minnesota. Again, you got to show me on the field. I love Alvin, but at some point, you have to have somebody who can say, look, let's give Alvin a three-play break here. Let's give Alvin. Because so far, Latavius Murray hasn't done jack for me. And for people to say, well, you know, he's better than Onzigo, or what was the kid's name that we let go?
Onzigbo.
Onzigbo. I don't see it.
Okay.
I don't see it. But maybe he'll turn around. Maybe the offensive plays haven't been called the right way for him. Maybe he doesn't like the blocking scheme. Maybe, I don't know, maybe something. But I'm telling you right now, somebody's got to step up to give Alvin a break now and then, and somebody who could be a threat to the defense.
I got a different take on that.
All right,
my
ahead.
Bad would be the fact that the coaching staff is not actually using him.
Well,
especially when they should use him.
That could be true.
Because I saw the guy rip off a 30-yard touchdown run week one. Okay, but I'll give you a perfect example in this game. I love Alvin Kamara as much as anybody else. Murray, over the 3 prior years, I believe it was, coming to the Saints, was number one in goal-to-go touchdowns in the league. Okay, that's his forte. This guy picks up short yardage. He's 6'2", 235, 240, whatever the hell he is. Big guy. And he has a knack for picking up short yardage and goal-to-go touchdowns. So we get down on the goal line. What do? Now, it worked out. Kamara got in the end zone, but we ran Kamara up the middle. That's a time that's what they got Murray for. And that was the one thing that Murray actually brought to the table that was exceeded what Ingram had done,
yeah,
was that he was a better short yardage runner like that. They're not using him. Late in the game, the final drive, everybody in the world knows that we're just going to basically run it 3 times, and you know we're playing the clock game at that point, and the odds, the percentages.
Right.
Murray doesn't see the field. Again, I'm never going to complain too much about taking the ball out of Kamara's hands, but that is exactly the situation that you brought Murray in for. So the guy hasn't seen the field. I don't think he's had enough opportunities to do anything.
I agree with you 100%, Heath. We had 50 offensive plays. Alvin Kamara touched the ball 25 times. On 50% of our offensive plays, we got the ball to Alvin Kamara. Now, I'm glad we won. He had a great game. I said, I think he's the best game he's had as a pro. We can't do that the next 5 weeks. I realize we got to be creative to win while Drew Brees is out. But him touching the ball on 50% of our plays, and he was responsible for 60% of our offense this past week, that just can't happen over and over and over again. Like, we need him healthy and feeling okay later in the year. We can't wear him out on this 6-game stretch.
Right.
My point.
I got into a conversation with a fellow on Twitter, and that was several people saying, you know, look, you just got to give him the ball. And I'm like, any one game, it doesn't. Oh, the statement was, who said he couldn't carry the ball 25 times or 25 touches? Oh, no, I would have never said he couldn't do it. But if you continue to do that, by week 10, the kid won't be able to walk.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
exactly. He's a phenomenal talent, and you just cannot.
But that's kind of exactly what my point.
No, and I agree.
When you're down on the goal line, bring the battering ram in, yeah, and give him the break. When you're trying to run the clock out at the end of the game, give the big guy the ball and let Kamara take the break, okay?
That's how about when you start the fourth quarter up 27-7, let's get Latavius Murray in there. Give him a few shots. Let's see if we can rest him right then. I mean, we didn't do anything offensively in the fourth quarter anyway. No. Might as well have Murray out there taking some hits.
Yeah.
And that's the key to it, is just to save the wear and tear. There's nobody who would argue the better who's the better person to give the ball to. That's not the point. Murray is a good running back. He's not even in Alvin Kamara's stratosphere, but he's a capable NFL back, and his job, as Heath was saying, is to take that punishment, maybe even dish out some of that punishment.
Yeah.
Let's let him do it. So I would agree with that. My bad would be that I feel like this is the third game in a row where now let's keep in mind the environment was horrible. That's one of the loudest stadiums, if not the loudest stadium in the entire league. But the pre-snap penalties, the after the snap penalties, the penalties in general, especially offensively, that you're just not really used to seeing the Saints making those mistakes. I mean, just look, we talked about Bridgewater, and I'm going to want to bring this up and talk a little bit more about Bridgewater as the show goes on. But you can't expect him to be Drew Brees. You can't expect him to be overcoming all these penalties. You have to stay on schedule. You have to get 3 yards on first down. You have to be moving the ball forward. And every time we put ourselves in a long situation, third and 16, and that's what we just kept continuing to do, and it's going to be difficult to win if the Saints continue to do that. Now, I'm hoping that it was the environment. I'm hoping that it was bad conditions. It's super loud. And keep in mind, you do have a new quarterback with a new cadence. And
no, that's, you know, what I was going to say.
You know, so I think that there's some things that will get better, get tighter as the games go on. But it's something that I'm concerned about.
Yeah, I think here I'm going to sort of like do what Heath did to me. I'm going to say to you that I don't think it's really that is that. The penalties are bad. Don't get me wrong. The penalties are bad. But I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you have a different quarterback, a different cadence, a different sound of a voice. And so all of that plays into it. You had Clapp playing a lot this last week, as the heavy line. And so a couple of times he got called for one, for sure.
Yeah, right early.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I think it's simply because he's on the outside part of the line. He's not used to the cadence that's coming at him. And that's, you know, why he did what he did. And I think Pete, same thing. I think all of them, it's the same thing. I'm actually surprised that McCoy, the new center, is actually not the guy who's been guilty of a lot of this stuff, you know? So, but I think that I don't blame the weather so much because Peyton has him practicing in a rain in New Orleans anyway. So I don't think it was so much that. Yeah, maybe the crowd noise, okay. But I really just think it's just a question of getting used to Teddy.
Yeah.
You know, so
getting used to Teddy, you know, like Clapp, for instance, he doesn't have a ton of game experience. He's still he don't even have a rookie season worth of experience.
Right.
So, but I agree. It's really kind of a miracle that they were able to weather that, no pun intended, in Seattle and actually still come away with a win.
Right.
After starting
right.
out the way they did.
Right.
Another thing, guys, is, I mean, we're talking about the penalties. There are only two teams in the NFL with more penalties this year than us. Cleveland and Atlanta, and those are two teams with bad offensive lines, pretty bad or young coaching, and we are leading the NFL in defensive offsides penalties, which we've seen be a killer, turning a third and eight to a third and three. We just can't have that. This got to change, like, right now.
97.7 Sports Talk Radio. When we come back, we're going to do our picks. We have a couple other interesting things to talk about. David Onyemata, his contract's coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Well, it's your old buddy Chef Pierre Gautreaux. Y'all gather around the radio and we gonna listen to some BS and Beer podcast. Ooh, ça c'est bon, that's a good show, yeah.
.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer podcast crew talking wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football. We did the good and the bad, and we evaluated the issues. You know, Heath didn't get his turn on the bad, but when we talked during the break, I think it's something that's very interesting, and it's probably even a little bit bigger than just something bad that happened. It's something that's kind of it's bad almost every time we go to use it. Heath. Please,
yeah, I mean, we touched on this before and even on past shows and all. Under Dennis Allen, two-minute defense has been putrid, okay? I realize that late in the game, every team plays this, you know, give them the short stuff underneath, who cares, we're working against the clock. But, I mean, you got Romo sitting there explaining it during the game. The object is to funnel the stuff inside and be able to tackle a guy in bounds and keep the clock moving. The Saints were giving up 10 and 15 yard outs with no Saint in the screen and the guy able to step out of bounds and only taking 4 seconds off the clock. It's the reason we gave up 20 points or whatever it was in the fourth quarter. And so, you know, we don't need to have that. We didn't need to have that kind of drama at the end of this game and in other games the Saints, okay? And this has been something with Dennis Allen, whatever it is, whatever thing, however he's drawing these plays up, they need to fix this two-minute defense thing. And real quick, coinciding with that, if I'm going to add an ugly, is Skip Bayless.
Did y'all see this guy this week with, you know,
the Saints stole this win because Russell Wilson was shredding the Saints deep. Of course, 300 of the 400 yards happened in slop time in the fourth quarter during the situation I'm talking about.
Right, when the Saints were allowing 15-yard outs.
You know, but how this guy actually gets paid to talk about football, I have no idea.
Well, I mean, sometimes you talk about getting paid. Some people, money doesn't override their dignity and self-esteem. You know, it's like
I guess not.
You know, if like you pay me enough, I guess I'd lose mine too. This guy, he gets paid to make a fool out of himself on the radio. His takes are generally just adversarial, just to say things that are outrageous.
You must be right. Yeah, and it's not that he thought he was right. He's willing to say something.
He's willing to say something,
but he's a big Cowboys fan.
No, now that was when I actually saw that clip. He was saying that not so much to pick on the Saints. He, as far as Seattle goes, he was basically saying that because they can't do that, whatever, to beat the Cowboys.
And right.
Quite frankly, look, I'm not trying to take anything from the Cowboys. Last couple of years, the Saints, the Cowboys have played the Saints tough when the Saints were somewhat at full strength.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys haven't played anybody.
Well, who have they played? They're 3-0. So who are the three teams they played?
I know they played the Dolphins.
Dolphins. There you go. That's another stinker team right there, right? New York Giants.
The Gents.
Oh, man, that's a great team right there. I mean, you know, really. I mean, how many teams can you go out there?
A Daniel Jones-less
That's right. And
Giants,
Washington
finally
Redskins.
Won again. Yeah.
And the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
So you've played three teams that are going to be
a
in the top
one,
five
one
of the
nine.
NFL draft.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And so they're walking around beating their chest like, ooh, 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 ooh.
Now, here's the only problem. I was saying all this same kind of stuff up until, what was it, week four last year or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, they had a good game plan last year.
We'll see. You know.
You know, they had a good game plan. They came out and they had a chip on their shoulder. Okay. And Drew didn't have a good game. And so you put all that together. And there you go. But I think this time it's not going to happen that way. We're at home. We're in our dome. And I think that this trip to the West Coast has brought this team closer together with Teddy as quarterback. So if the tight end can step it up,
yeah,
and we can tighten up a little bit on these chunk plays, well, there you go.
I don't know. They're going to have a hard time dealing with our pass rush. I mean, this pass rush is playing
they
on
are.
Another level.
Yeah.
And I realize Dallas has a good offensive line, but their quarterback is not Seattle's quarterback. It's going to be tough for him. So, look, I tell you what, let's get to the picks.
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40, and John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
All right, so let's get right to it. The first game I'm going to have you guys give us your thoughts on, Eagles at the Packers. The Packers are giving up 4.5, Heath.
I'm going to take the Packers and give out the points.
All right. Wesley.
Go, Pack, go.
Huh.
Packers.
All right, I got the Packers as well. Another interesting one is the Chiefs are -6 at the Fighting Garys, more commonly known as the Lions, who pulled off a big victory this weekend.
Yep.
So, Heath.
Man, I really, really attempted to take the Lions into 6 points at home, but this is the Chiefs, and I'm just not sure they're going to be able to get it done this week. I'm going to take the Chiefs.
Wesley.
I am not at all tempted to pick the Lions. I'm taking the Chiefs.
I'm sorry, my dear friend, but I have to go with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I tell you what, the Chiefs at this point, man, they're just scary good. They're playing incredible. I thought this one was interesting. Raiders at the Colts. The Colts giving up 7 points. The Raiders played pretty strong the first couple of weeks, Heath.
Yeah, they didn't this past week. The Colts are looking pretty good with Brissett. They're not missing luck a whole lot right now. I'm going to take the Colts at home and give up the points.
Wesley.
I think it's a 6-point game. I'll take the Raiders and the 7.
I'm going Colts.
I'm going to pick the Raiders just because I feel like they've played better ball, and the Colts, I'm not sold on them. Browns at the Ravens. Ravens giving up 7 points. Heath?
I'm going to take the Ravens at home and give up the 7. I'm not sure what's going on in Cleveland right now.
Wesley?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Ravens. The Browns are just a mess.
All right, Tomas?
Well, I'm just going to say this. I still feel dangerous. Not as dangerous as Wesley, but I'm going to take the Browns.
All right, let's go Seahawks at the Cardinals. The Cardinals getting 5 at home. Heath?
I think the Seahawks are going to rebound. I'm going to take the Seahawks.
Wesley?
This is a tough one. I'm going to take the Cardinals. I think this will be a close game. I don't think they lose, but within 5.
Okay.
Now, Seahawks bounce back. I go with the Seahawks.
Yeah, I got the Cardinals, but then I start thinking to myself, boy, if the Seahawks lose to the Cardinals, then I'm going to be a little bit more worried on Monday night or Sunday night. All right, Patriots are at the Bills. The Bills are getting 7 points. They're undefeated, Heath.
Yeah, you know, Dave, nobody circles the wagons like the Bills. I'm going to take the Bills at home to stay within 7 of the Patriots.
All right, Wesley.
I will also be taking the Bills.
Nah.
Oh, my gosh. Me too?
Nah. Patriots.
There you go.
Patriots are going to find a way. They always do, some way or another. But 7 points.
Too much consternation there. Huh?
Yeah, too much constipation going on right there for me to go the other way. Yeah. All right. Let's pick up this the good game of the week. Well, we might have room for one more. Let's go. I'm going to do this one because it's a big spread. Chargers at the Dolphins, Heath. 16 points.
You know what? I've been giving the big points out all week, but in this case, after watching the Dolphins hang kind of tough this past week at home, getting 16, I'm going to take the fish.
Oh, the fish. Go ahead, Wesley.
I'll definitely be taking the Chargers.
Okay.
No, I'm going to take those Dolphins and the 16.
I took the Dolphins in the points and actually won that game last week.
Yep. Yeah.
And the Chargers haven't looked here lately.
No, the Chargers, I don't know. This past week, they are a team that just constantly has all kinds of talent, or at least that's the way the media presents it, and then they never produce.
Always the bridesmaid, never the
bridesmaid. They lost a tight end again. They don't have the running back. That's why.
All right.
So who did you take, Dave?
I'm going to go with the Dolphins, the fish. All right. So we're going to – I know what the picks are going to be. Let's hear a little bit of your thoughts on the Saints, Cowboys in New Orleans. New Orleans is getting 2.5 points at home. Look, I know it's about betting, Heath, but I don't know.
No, I think the Saints are going to – you know, I know they always talk about revenge is not on their mind and everything, but I think the Saints are going to get it together. We're at home in the Dome. We got a little payback to hand out to the Cowboys, to the Cowgirls. I'd take the Saints if they were giving up a few points, but I'd definitely take the points.
Okay, Wesley.
Primetime game in the Dome. Our defensive line is playing as good as it has in a long time right now. We can limit the rushing yards against the Cowboys, and we can contain Dak. Dak cannot run around like Russell Wilson can. Again, I'm the same as Heath. This game in the Dome in primetime, I would give up some points. I'll definitely take the points in the Saints.
All right.
Well, I think it's a dangerous situation because, you know, the Cowboys are loaded. You know, they have a lot of players and a lot of special positions.
Yeah. He actually gets me when he starts doing that. I'm like, listening to him like
– But I believe that my Saints will – I'm going to be bold. I say the Saints win by at least 10. So I'm going to take my Saints in my 2.5.
There you go.
I think the same way, Tomas. You know what? I don't know. My Saints blinders always have me leaning towards the Saints, and my hatred for the Cowboys have me leaning the other way, so I always think the Saints going to beat them pretty good. It's going to be a hard-fought game. We're going to need some extra help in other areas. But I agree, the pass rush – the first 3 weeks of the season has been incredible. Yep. Now that Onyemata's back, he wasn't in the first game. I think that the Saints are going to put on some pass rush that the Cowboys just haven't seen. I think the Saints will beat them. All right, for Heath Elson-San, Wesley Coleman, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Who dat?
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to David, Heath, and Tomas. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast.